So I want to say something before I begin. I have kind of a very basic traditional presentation, and I think I will just read it through. But first of all, I'm not the about the title first, maybe. So I chose to use the word universalism, but I don't know, does it really work like philosophical universalism? What is that? Well, I kind of refer with that concept to this kind of idea of universal as Western hegemony or something like that, and so like. But it's probably a bad concept. I don't know. So the title could be Fanon Universality and Decolonization. I'm going to talk about Fanon, and the thing I want to. I know I shouldn't start with apologizing, but I'm not really a Fanon scholar, and this is like a first presentation that I ever spoke about Fanon. So it's kind of a very preliminary and initiative thing for me too. So so if you find any problems, or you can stop me and at any moment and have a comment because there might be some problems. So but basically, of course, it's a very difficult thing to talk about. And the reason is also that I'm not going to talk about any personal experience. And but because if I started from my personal experience, I studied continental philosophy and Western thought, and my thesis is on Merleau-Ponty's reading of Descartes. So it's very this kind of basic European thinking. So this is for me. I'm doing something new, but because I'm not going to talk about Descartes or things that I know more about at all. I'm not going to even mention those things. And the thing is that I could have chosen that approach to Fanon. The reason is that he has a he makes kind of a criticism of Merleau-Ponty's idea of body schema, and or I could have chosen to approach through Sartre's concept of freedom, but I chose not to do that, because then obviously it would be I would go back to their conceptions, and I'm not sure if it's. I didn't want to do that. And also, I'm doubtful. I'm not sure. About because of course, Fanon. The first thing you realize when you read him is that he's talking about something completely different than theoretical matters. So it's of course problem to begin to theoreticize and kind of take him part of the conversation, but to institute his thought. But I still find it also very important, and maybe it's not only a bad thing. Yes. So there are a lot of problems in this way, but I would love to discuss about these things. It's something new for me too. So let me just begin. So Fanon demonstrates that decolonization is not a verbal process, but necessarily a violent liberation from the oppression and racism of colonialism. But he nevertheless returns to the idea of universality in his texts. And this is what I'm going to talk about. In the lecture, which is translated in Finnish by Eetu Viren, Racism and Culture, Fanon concludes, I quote, universality resides in this decision to recognize and accept the reciprocal relativism of different cultures once the colonial status is irreversibly excluded, end of quote. So it seems to me that the state of universality is central to the discussion between Western philosophical tradition and tradition of decolonization. And in my paper, I will analyze two manners of approaching universality that are involved in the discussion of decolonization. At least I think so. Please criticize this if it's not correct. I call them, in this paper, I call them absolute universality and relativization of universality. I will point out some difficulties in these approaches. Then finally, I will take a look on a new possibility of formulating the idea of universality that I think can be found from Fanon, but also from Leopold Sedar Senghor and MSSR, the founders of Negritude movement. So first, the absolute universality. The universality of Western philosophy can be understood exactly as its tendency to dominate the truth and to oppress other traditions. On the one hand, one could claim that everyone has equal access to the universal truth of philosophy and science. But on the other hand, the universal truth excludes all differences and dominates all other possible ideas. It is difficult to avoid the impression that if we accept Western universalism, then every other opinion has truth only in relation to this dominating truth. Understood in this sense, not only Western philosophy, but also its sciences and culture generally seems to be colonialistic. And as we learn from Fanon, colonialism is always also racism. One of the most prominent proponents of absolute universality in European philosophy is, of course, Hegel. In his lectures on the philosophy of history, Hegel considers the intellectual history of the world as the universal manifestation of spirit. It is the universal history, or his idea of universal history. It's not his concept originally. According to him, I quote, "The essence of spirit is freedom, and philosophy teaches that all the qualities of spirit exist only through freedom," end of quote. Hegel elaborates his idea through historical periods and cultures of the world. He considers the cultures of Asia, ancient Greek, and finally the German nations, which under the influence of Christianity are able to realize the freedom of spirit. Nevertheless, Hegel does not find any kind of consciousness of freedom from Africa. Between the universal spirit that is found in Europe in its finest form and the obscure culture of Africa, there is no relationship. So, allow me briefly go through Hegel's description of Africa. It's, I think it's quite obvious and clear that his idea is racist. And the question follows then that what we should think about his idea of universality in general. I'm not going to discuss this, but obviously a big problem. And this has been pointed out so many times. There's nothing new about it, so I will be very brief. In Hegel's view of Africa, Africa is not a historical part of the world. I quote, "It has no movement or development to exhibit. Africa is the land of childhood." And he continues that it's beyond self-consciousness, history, and universality, and so on. And it's in the mere state of nature, and so on. And even he states that the atmosphere of Africa is poisonous to Europeans. I quote Hegel, "The peculiarly African character is difficult to comprehend for the very reason that in reference to it, we must quite give up the principle which naturally accompanies all our ideas, the category of universality." So I will go just for a moment. Hegel describes the African life as undeveloped oneness, that has not realized the distinction between individual freedom and universality of being. According to Hegel, African native, I quote, exhibits the natural man in his completely wild and untamed state, end of quote. In Hegel's view, African natives have not only no consciousness of freedom, but also their moral sentiments are weak, or rather non-existent. Hegel concludes that a man from Africa is outside of humanity, not a real person, but rather a mere thing. This is what Hegel says. He characterizes African natives as inclined to slavery and justifies the enslavement. He even states that the slavery is, I quote, an occasion of the increase of human feeling among the African natives. In Hegel's view, as the African native is not capable of rational action and does not follow universal reason, is condemned to unreasonable and irrational action that characterizes wickedness and evil. In his work, The Wretched of the Earth, Fanon attacks this totalitarian character of colonization. I quote, "It is not enough for the colonist to affirm that those values have disappeared from, or still better, never existed in the colonial world. The native is declared insensible to ethics. He presents not only the absence of values, but also the negation of values. He is, let us dare to admit, the enemy of values. In this sense, he is the absolute evil." End of quote. In excluding Africa from all civilized culture, Hegel also claims that Egypt is not a part of Africa, but part of Asia. I'm not sure how to pronounce the names, sorry, but Jake Antadioup attacks against this conception and shows that Egypt is indeed a part of Africa, the Black Africa. I'm sorry, I will be using the word black because you will see. It's very difficult not to use in this context. I'm sorry, so if you allow me to do this. Diop shows that instead of being peripheral to the development of civilization, I quote, "The black race is the original inventor of rationality." Actually, this is from Messai Kepede, book called Africa's Quest for a Philosophy of Decolonization. I will be referring to that book because Kepede explains the connections very clearly, and it's a very good introduction actually to these ideas. So, according to Diop, it is Africa that has invented science, mathematics, and culture that Greeks borrowed, and through this European culture is indebted to Africa and exists only because of Africa. Diop argues, I quote, that Egyptians were blacks, that Greece borrowed from Egypt all the elements of her civilization, even the cult of the gods, and that Egypt was the cradle of civilization. Diop's idea is that through the realization of his past, the native African can liberate himself from the oppression as he now understands that it is his ancestors who have invented the universal culture. Thus, Diop's aim is the African recapture of the absolute universal culture. For him, there is no other universality or other truth but the robbery of the original culture of Egypt by Western manipulation of history. African culture and European culture have a common background, but European culture is a degenerate version of African culture. It lacks the African, communalism of social life. This is from actually what Kepede says. So, and Kepede criticizes this idea of Diop. He says that Diop reverts Hegelian racism by simply continuing it from the side of Africa, and that he adopts the colonialist aggression by opening a way, I quote Kepede, "the racist and nationalist ideologies of undemocratic and totalitarian regimes," end of quote. So next I will speak about the relativization of universality. In his article, The Critical Notes on Hegel's Treatment of Africa, Omotayde Adegbindin argues that the early 20th century thinkers of decolonization, the Negritude movement, who formulated an African counter-universalism against Western universalism, use Hegel's description in the very opposite direction. Arek Bindin writes, I quote, "Paradoxically, African intellectuals who opposed Hegel saw in his thesis all the elements they needed to affirm and justify the existence of a specific African civilization that is irremediably opposed to the European one. The only difference here is that what Hegel proposes as an absolute lack is considered absolute asset by Negritude." End of quote. So Senghor describes the racial specificities of African natives and African descendants who possess the black soul and have strong emotionality and sensuality. Thus, instead of the history of rationality described by Duke, Africans were, I quote, Arek Bindin, "Africans were living in the kingdom of abundance, in permanent contact with beings and things, in a generous nature." In his article, The African Apprehension of Reality, Senghor describes the relationship between African natives and nature as balanced, friendly, and good. According to him, Europeans do not have any respect of life and do not understand that life cannot be domesticated. Europeans use their objective intelligence in order to kill the other and use the other for the practical ends. In contrast, African natives live in a harmonious relation with nature, and they do not distinguish themselves from the living objects and animals. African native does not kill the other, but feels it, its rhythm. According to Senghor, it is, I quote, rhythm which is at the basis of imitation and which plays a determining role in man's generic activity and in his creative activity, in memory, language, and art." End of quote. Whereas European reason objectivizes and uses the object, African reason, I quote, "participates in the object and lives with the other in a communal life." End of quote. In his work, Return to My Native Land, Césaire criticized the imitation of Europeans by African natives. According to Césaire, the imitator says to the white man that he is not different, that the black skin is not significant. Gebede explicates that in Césaire's view, this attitude means the rejection of the idea of race and it is promotion of the universalist position of the white man as a prototype of human. All the aspects of the black life are repressed and condemned in the name of the sameness. So Kepede points out that this would lead to a contradiction, a black man denying his blackness. Thus, Negritude movement is defined as the affirmation of blackness and African culture. So the Negritude movement detaches African culture from the comparison and submission to Europe by acknowledging its own vital force. Africa has not failed to develop a culture like Europe, but instead has been attacked by a brutal European colonialism that is the result of European culture and its greed. Negritude thinkers turn the Hegelian idea of Africa upside down. With this move, they relativize universality. It is no longer a matter of homogenic universality of Europe, but a division of different universalities. They detach the black universal from the white universal, but at the same time, these two remain interconnected and in relation as antipodes of each other. It is this reaffirmation of the racial separation that Fanon criticizes in the Negritude movement. I will soon return to Fanon, but first, allow me to point out one or another difficulty for the relativization of universality. The ideological situation has, the ideological situation has changed also in Europe from the Hegelian understanding of history, of course. I hope so. postmodern philosophies have fragmented the idea of universal history, although the result of this fragmentation remains unclear. Whereas liberalist ideology promotes the acceptance of the diversity of cultures, the conservative right-wing political thinkers criticize its tendency to unify all culture. Contemporary right-wing politics in Europe does not openly declare supremacy and universality of European culture in the Hegelian sense. I think so. Rather, it attempts to hide its racist nature and simply builds walls around its supposed cultural homogeneity. The contemporary conservative thinking may accept multiculturalism as long as these cultures do not encounter each other. This ideology is visible, for example, in the political theory of Russian conservative political thinker Alexander Dugin, who argues in his work Fourth Political Theory that his theory, I quote, rejects all forms of racism and all forms of normative hierarchization of societies, and that instead of unipolar world, I quote, it insists upon multipolar world. And instead of universalism, on pluriversalism, end of quote. Dugin supports regional universalism, that is, regional homogeneity. He takes influence from Carl Schmitt, a supporter of Nazism, who argues that state politics must be rooted within boundaries of citizenship that remains homogeneous and defends itself against everything that threatens its sovereignty internally or externally. So I made this detour simply because it may seem that the idea of pluriversalism is close to the relativization of universality by negritude thinkers. It promises to give affirmation to all different cultures and claims to end the cultural racism. Yet this appropriation of other cultures and plurality of universality by right-wing political thinkers does not evade racism, but on the contrary, it is an attempt to justify racism and to diminish the universality of human rights. Let me show how Fanon criticizes the idea of mutual recognition, that is not a real recognition, but a further segregation resting on the colonialist idea of reciprocal exclusion. According to him, I quote Fanon, by its very structure, colonialism is separatist and regionalist. End of quote. So Fanon criticizes negritude thinkers of their return to the black soul of Africa. According to him, the black soul is white man's construction. In his work, Black Skin, White Masks, Fanon states that this black identity is a jump into a black abyss of mystical past, a renunciation of the actual past and present. Rather than removing the racialization of the colonized, it solidifies it. Moreover, in Fanon's view, leaning back to Hegelian dialectics does not disassemble their racist situation. In the Hegelian dialectics of master and slave, the slave gains the recognition of the master because this is the only way for the master to gain his recognition. The slave accomplishes the dialectical process of recognition only through violence and by overcoming the master. Yet, according to Fanon, between the white master and the black slave, there is no such reciprocity. The black slave can be set free by the white master, but he does not gain recognition as a consciousness in itself for itself, Hegelian term. In Hegel's dialectics, the slave gains recognition also of his work, without which the master would not exist. But in the racialized situation, slavery is simply exploitation. The racialization of colonized people makes them inferior, and thus their struggle for recognition is only an expression of inferiority, not of their consciousness of freedom. According to Fanon, since the colonialist cannot obtain recognition, he has nothing to lose, and the only option is violence. The aim of violence is not in making a dialectical move from recognition, but in liquidating the whole socioeconomic system of colonialized exploitation. To Fanon, decolonization is not a return to the past. restoring the dignity of black culture is not enough because it will only be a recognition of its particularity. What comes first is not a plural universality of the cultures, but an absolute universality of human rights. According to Fanon, in order to deconstruct racism, equality of the races is not enough. The aim for him is a deconstruction of racialization and a deconstruction of the races. According to Fanon, decolonization as a complete change of the, I quote, order of the world. It is necessary violence towards all conservative forces and dichotomies. Through the violent change, the colonialized frees himself from his inferiority complex and restores his self-respect. Fanon states in the work The Wretched of the Earth, decolonization is the veritable creation of new men. This was a quote, yes. So this creation does not begin from intellectual conversation. This is important. I quote Fanon, the native's challenge to the colonial world is not a rational confrontation of points of view. It is not a treatise on the universal, but the untidy affirmation of an original idea propounded as an absolute. End of quote. It is not from the supposedly clear, it is not from a supposed clarity and purity of the universal idea that decolonization gets its force, but on the contrary, from the, I quote, the native's violence that unifies people, end of quote. By destroying the old colonialized separations, the people will be united. Together, they will put an end to the history of colonization, to colonization of history, and create the history of decolonization. It will be, according to Fanon, the untidy affirmation of the absolute idea of human, the whole of mankind. Before I go to the final part of my presentation, let me briefly note that Kebede criticizes Fanon's idea of violence as creational liberation. It is not, according to Kebede, it is not clear how is it possible to cut all the ties to the past completely. Kebede asks, is violence really enough to cut the ties to colonialism? Is it not rather that the violence of decolonization is, I quote, an internalization of the violent colonial world, end of quote. And if so, how can it have a curing and cleansing effect? So to the last part, I hope I have some time still. Oh, all right. So I think Fanon's idea is not completely to reject the possibilities of philosophy and intellectual life. He does not reject universality altogether. What he rejects is the white universal and the black universal and the regional universal that would simply maintain racism. In my mind, what Fanon is after is the creation of a new universal, a revolution of universality, decolonization of universality that not only liberates and deconstructs the black, but necessarily also the white. Fanon does not suggest violence without an end and without creation of the new. He is not seeking for a reaction against colonialism, but action that will create a new man. In the beginning of my paper, I cited Fanon's idea of universality. Allow me to quote it again. The occupant's spasmed and rigid culture, now liberated, opens at last to the culture of people who have really become brothers. The two cultures can affront each other, enrich each other. Universality resides in this decision to recognize and accept the reciprocal relativism of different cultures once the colonial status is irreversibly excluded. End of quote. It is clear that by the reciprocal relativism of different cultures, Fanon does not mean the same as the conservative European political theorists. It does not mean segregation of different cultures, but impurity, openness, and intertwining of different cultures that will liberate not only the colonized, but also the colonizing culture. In his article, Franz Fanon Towards a Postcolonial Humanism, Pramod Nayar argues that Fanon's idea is that after the colonialized has liberated himself through violence, there will be a collective liberation that is mutual transformation and mutual enrichment of the colonizer and the colonized. After the national liberation, there is a turn towards, towards an internationalism and universalism, end of quote. There will be collaboration and solidarity through a recognition of shared suffering. So Fanon's idea is that Europeans will help former colonialized people or work together to rehabilitate mankind. Yet he states that this is not a naive utopia. He does not accept any cooperation from European governments. Fanon states that it is necessary that European people first realize their colonial past. In order to do this, European people must, I quote Fanon, decide to wake up and shake themselves, use their brains, end of quote. Fanon sees it crucial that the European people must deconstruct their own ideas. Fanon's aim is to elaborate new ideas and new concepts. He calls it a new humanism. In the closing words of the Wretched of the Earth, Fanon states, for Europe, for ourselves, and for humanity, comrades, we must turn over a new leaf. We must work out new concepts and try to set afoot a new man, end of quote. In these ideas, Fanon is actually not so far from Negritude movement. The aim of Negritude is not only the relativization of the Western universalism. Senghor states, I quote, we must live a life that is original, African and French at the same time. We must in fact create on the soil of Africa a new man and a new humanism. And Césaire agrees with this view, I quote, in the African culture yet to be born, there will be many new elements, modern elements, elements, let us face it, borrowed from Europe. But we also believe that many traditional elements will persist in these cultures, end of quote. Therefore, it is clear that the Negritude, thinkers of Negritude movement do not mean to affirm any kind of segregation by the relativization of universality. The aim is to decolonize both Africa and Europe, both the colonized and the colonizer. The return to the past and tradition heads towards present situation and to the future. So let me finally conclude. This is just a summary. So I have demonstrated that the traditional idea of absolute universality leads to a dead end. It will always be exclusive, arrogant, and racist, one way or another. It is crucial to attack this conception by relativizing it, as the thinkers of Negritude movement have done. Yet that is not enough because, as Fanon shows, the differentiation still leaves room for racist segregation. I demonstrated that even though Fanon argues for a violent national removal of colonial rule, it nevertheless is necessary after this phase to form collaboration with Europeans in order to deconstruct traditional conceptions and form new concepts and a new universal idea of man. Thanks.